Mike Lethby is executive director of Raft and joined us on the program here this afternoon. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Matt. Good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, obviously, you know, when you're getting praise and it's sounding like something is working, we got to delve a little bit deeper into this. So how have things been going with the diversion program?
Yeah, so far it's been really good, really promising. I mean, we have to obviously have the caveat that COVID sort of changed all games. So, you know, we're waiting to see how it'll play out as we move forward. But we were running this for about a year prior to COVID really taking effect in Niagara, and we were seeing about almost a 40% success rate in being able to divert youth from our shelter.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that's really the big win here, is that if the shelter system, like the more people you put into it, the more it gets overwhelmed, the less support we can supply to any one person. And so, you know, just by helping to divert people from coming in the shelter, you know, it's a big success.
So is it, when you said 40%, like that's 40% in the duration, or was that just in the time pre-COVID or during? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, so I just finished a report for the first 2 years of the program, and we achieved about a 36% success rate of diversion over that 2 years.
Okay. Now, did you break it down by chance, pre-COVID and after? Because your point about COVID being the unknown, right? We don't know if that, you know, maybe changed a whole bunch of different things. But did you break it down in terms of pre and post or during, I guess, because we're not post it yet?
Yeah. Haven't broken it down. I mean, what we've seen is that diversion success rates are the same. The unknown may be whether or not the actual raw numbers coming to us have decreased or increased potentially because of COVID.
Yeah.
So that would be where the difference might be. But the actual, our ability to divert seems to be fairly consistent at that, 35 to 40%.
So what does the program entail, I guess, for people out there? Like,
yeah.
You know, we can say diversion all we want, but like, ultimately, this is the idea behind this is making sure the kids don't end up, youth don't end up on the streets without a home. How does this program work?
Yeah, so just right off the top, diversion is not about saying no. So if you need shelter, the beds are always going to be there for you. It's really about having that conversation with you when you're looking to access shelter to see if you have any other options. So, you know, just as an example, say you are living in St. Catharines with a boyfriend, girlfriend, you got in a fight, you know, and you had to leave, and maybe you're trying to access the shelter because, you know, you're from Fort Erie and you just don't have the money to go back. So before diversion, you would just come in and stay a few days in our shelter. But with diversion, we can have that conversation with you. And if it's simply a matter of, you know, getting in a taxi to get back and you have family in Fort Erie, well, that's what we'll do.
Oh, okay. Which honestly, that sounds sounds simplistic, but I'm guessing it's highly effective, right? Because it's not putting them in the system, if you will.
Exactly, and that, like I said, right off the top, that's the key piece, right? Because we know that even one exposure to the homeless system, the shelter system, can lead to multiple exposures. So, the more people that we can stop from even needing the shelter, the better off we're going to be in the longer term.
What's the reaction been, I guess, from some of those folks who are, some of those kids that are coming through in those moments? Are they, like, were they expecting you, or have they been expecting you just to kind of put them in a bed instead of finding them that extra way to get back to a home?
Yeah, I think it's been a bit mixed, I think. I mean, because it was new, especially when we first started it, you know, there was a bit of a trying to understand, what is this thing? You know, I thought I was just going to get a shelter bed. I was told to call and do an intake. But as we sort of worked through, I think overall people have been very, I think they like the attention. The fact that it's, you know, it really is really working with them. We know you were successfully housed. How can we get you back to being successfully housed? We know you really don't want it. Like, no one really wants to use the shelter if they don't have to. So, and especially with COVID, I think that might even help us a bit, because, you know, with all the concerns there's been about congregated living.
Yeah.
So definitely since COVID, I mean, I think people have been more grateful for that kind of service right at the door.
Is it, I guess, because, you know, some of these kids are in these positions and who knows what reason. Is it hard to get them to open up and even let you know where maybe they might be able to go instead of coming into the system?
Yeah, you know, that has never been an issue. We found that, you know, when people are looking for help, they're more than willing to give you the background to help you, help them. So, you know, very rarely do we come across someone who's, you know, sort of tight-lipped about what's been going on. Sometimes you might not necessarily get the whole story off the hop, but definitely I've never found people to be too reluctant when they're looking for help to sort of give you the information you need for us to be able to help them.
So I guess now that you've seen successes with it for the 2 years you were mentioning, the obvious question is, where does it go from here?
Yeah, so we've been working with the region. We started off piloting this program back in April of 2019, and then about 6 months in, we saw enough success with the program that we thought we could try and expand it. So Southridge Community Church runs probably the largest adult shelter in the Niagara region. I think they have 55 beds, and they're very interested in the program. So they came on board. We trained their staff, and now as a team, Raft and Southridge are working together with Diversion. So they're supplying Diversion on the adult side.
Okay.
And then we expanded it one more time, actually tail end of the first wave. We launched another Diversion program working with the Boys and Girls Club of Niagara through their Nightlight Youth Shelter. And so between the three of us now, we've been running shelter Diversion. So, you know, it's about half the system currently being supplied with the centralized shelter Diversion. So hopefully, you know, if we're seeing these kind of numbers and there's interest, we could, you know, like to be able to expand it across the whole system.
Yeah, well, the success rate seems to be saying, look at it certainly is worth. Like, is it? I guess the number cruncher out there is asking, in terms of cost effective use, I'm going to guess this is good because you're keeping them out of the system for a longer period of time, which ultimately is going to be a heck of a bigger financial burden. But financially, is sustainable?
Yeah, it's if you sort of break out the numbers, so in the 2 year pilot, remembering that both Southridge and Nightlight didn't start exactly at the 2 year mark, right? They were sort of staggered in. So over that time period, the three agencies, we've been able to divert 461 people from shelter.
Wow.
And so if you think about the Raft as a shelter, in any 1 year, Raft supports about 130 to 160 youth in its shelter. So, you know, two staff have basically had the same amount of impact as, you know, a medium-sized shelter.
That's wild. Like, that's fantastic, isn't it? Like, you have to feel a little bit of pride that it's working like this.
I mean, one thing about the whole COVID experience is I am just, I can't talk enough about the work that all the people in the system have been doing. I mean, you really understand what courage means. You know, and sometimes it's not about moving forward. It's just about staying in place when everybody else steps back.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. So here, I guess, now the 36% is great. I guess I'm bad at math, but there's still 64%, I guess, to work on and chip away at. What are some of the hurdles that you're facing on that front then?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably no surprise to anyone that we're going through probably the largest affordable housing jump since the sort of what I consider the first one in 2015. And OW rates and OW is our welfare rate. I mean, it stayed pretty steady. It's about $740 all in. That's supposed to be your shelter plus your needs. And, you know, we can't even get a room for rent for under 800 now. So it's going to be tight. I mean, it's kind of like trying to fight with two hands tied behind your back. But, you know, that's why we sort of pivoted. We're really working with families, especially for the youth, to see, because one of the big learnings we had back in 2015 was that families were actually the largest provider of affordable housing. So that's the group we need to be engaging. And so somewhat successfully we have been, but, you know, family isn't always going to be an option for people.
Yeah, there's plenty of people who, you know, maybe have come for different reasons to the region or what have you, or maybe their family's in the same type of situation, right?
Where exactly. They, yeah.
You can't rely sometimes on them.
Sometimes, you know, it's just life, right?
Is it like just for even for you guys finding a room is $800?
Yeah, even a room now. So it's,
wow.
Yeah, it's and you know, all my workers are, you know, they have caseloads, so they're working with their clients trying to find housing. So I'll often have two or three of my workers calling the same landlord for that. You know, they put up the posting. It's three workers will call the same landlord to try and secure that room for their clients. It's getting pretty bad that way.
Wow. That, yeah, so. Too many voices coming in trying to work on that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, and that's just our own agency. I mean, that's not including all the other agencies that are also doing the same sort of work we're doing, right? So, you know, it's getting harder. That's going to be one of the big things moving forward is, you know, what do we do if we simply, you know, it's hard to make a choice if we don't even have the resources in place to even allow us to make a choice, right?
Well, yeah, I guess that's the main thing. It's like we were talking before about, you know, choice for some of those kids coming through. If there legitimately is no other choice, like there's just no other choice. Like that's you can't do anything.
Which, yeah,
and I hate the defeatist feeling, but.
Well, I mean, we do what we can, right? We try and squeeze the most out of every opportunity we have. And that's where, like I said, family has been the biggest boon for us, that we put a lot of effort into working with families to do the mitigation and sort of work with them to see if there's ways we can, and, you know, family, we're talking larger family, like grandparents and uncles and cousins or even older siblings. You know, that's been a promising avenue for us, and we've made the most of it, but, you know, there's just some times, so.
Yeah, there's, at the end of this here, there's some great work that's going on, seeing some wonderful success in the diversion program, and all we can do is keep working from here, and it sounds like that's exactly what you guys are doing over there. So good on you, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, thank you very much. You have a great day.
You too. Take care. There's Mike Lethby, Executive Director of RAFT, as they are a group that works with folks, young folks that are on the street and homeless, and trying to keep them out off the street. And their diversion program has shown, you know, some great increases in bonuses in terms of not getting kids into the system. Again, we talked with Kathy the other day, one of the things that she mentioned was chronic homelessness, right? You know, when it's lasting for a long period of time, you keep them out of the system as long as you can. And they're seeing some great kind of benefits from that in terms of 36% is pretty good.